The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right. Good morning, everybody. It is hour number three on this Thursday, the 8th of June, 9 o'clock hour. Glad you guys are here. So it's kind of like I view a lot of things as a law of physics, and I mean that kind of metaphorically, that the amount of the measurable amount of rhetoric, of comment that you'll see from both sides of the Ken Paxton impeachment drama, the folks who are out there talking more are the people who I don't necessarily say are prouder of what they're saying, but they just feel like there's value, that there is advantage in getting out there and just hammering it. That's why Tony Busby and Dan Cogdell were out all over the place yesterday talking about how they're going to defend Ken Paxton against this completely phony impeachment attempt. So will we see? I mean, they're certainly cashing some mad stacks of checks. Rusty Hardin and Dick DeGaren already getting a ton of money, I'm sure, in order to prosecute Ken Paxton. Are they going to be? And listen, there's already a quote out there. I think it was Rusty Hardin who said that what you see and what you've heard so far, it's 10 times worse. Really? Really? So one of the interesting things in the weeks, if not months, before we actually get to the trial is who's going to be out there more and who's going to be making more frequent and bolder assertions about the veracity of their side. Blake Hansen had a piece on this on Channel 4 on Fox 4 last night. And then I've got some of Tony Busby's actual news conference where he went into some detail. We'll just keep everybody immersed in, steeped in exactly what's going on, exactly what people are saying so we can all figure out exactly what we think of everything. Blake Hansen last night, Fox 4.
The impeachment articles that have been laid out by the House are baloney.
High-profile attorney Tony Busby pulled no punches in his new job, trying to stop the state Senate from throwing Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton permanently out of office.
The speaker's followers and himself thought that they could pull off what could only be described as a drive-by shooting on a holiday weekend to politically assassinate one of the leading conservative voices.
The speaker's so-called followers was in fact a large majority of the Republican-led House. 121 members voted to impeach Ken Paxton in the Memorial Day weekend vote, sending the case to the...
Yeah, okay, sit tight. Believe you me, it was overwhelming by any measure. 60 of them were Republicans. 60 were Republicans out of 80-some.
Senate for an August trial on removal. Just 20...
Careful on the August trial. It supposedly will not start any later than August 28th. August is probably the most likely, but that has not been set. Could it possibly start at the end of July? Maybe. But I'll tell you, one of the things Tony Busby rolled out is, you come at us with this, we are going to bury you in discovery, the process by which you go seeking facts, seeking testimony. And on 20 counts of impeachment, if you go to state court, federal court, and find an indictment that has 20 counts, that thing might not go to trial for 2 years because everybody's got discovery time. Everybody's got, securing of witnesses, securing of facts, subpoenaing of documents and testimony, et cetera, et cetera. And this was one of Tony Busby's main points. You want to play this game? Get comfortable. because this is going to take a while.
Three members voted against. The impeachment was over allegations Paxton abused his office for personal gain. But Busby and another high-profile attorney defending Paxton, Dan Cogdill, were on the attack Wednesday.
Not once, but twice, the people have said, that's our guy. And this is the allegation based on nothing? It's less than nothing. It's a lie.
They also attacked the high-profile attorneys hired to prosecute Paxton.
Now they've been hired to try to buttress this weakness and play some tomfoolery with you to prop up a sham.
In a news conference last week, prominent attorneys Dick DeGaren and Rusty Hardin made some poignant remarks of their own.
I was shocked.
This is Rusty Hardin.
At the details of the allegations. This is not about a one-time misuse of an office. It's not about a two-time misuse of the office.
I was shocked by the details of the allegations. Okay. You don't know anything about them. You take a look at that, you know, man, that's bad. What really is going to matter here is, are they true? Are they believable?
It's about a pattern of misconduct and using the office.
This is not the first time Hardin and Busby have found themselves on opposite sides of a high-profile case. Hardin represented former Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson, while Busby represented women accusing Watson of sexual misconduct.
Which side do you want on that one in 2023?
Both are comfortable in front of cameras and full of colorful quotes.
This really is a hybrid between a legal and a political process.
SMU political science professor Matthew Wilson points out swaying public opinion is important in this case.
On one hand, there will be legal arguments and the state Senate will be sitting as a jury. And so it will be a quasi court-like proceeding. But at the same time, ultimately, the people voting are politicians. They're elected officials. And so in that sense, public opinion matters. And whether the public in Texas ends up supporting or opposing the impeachment of Ken Paxton.
Which is why we might see more of these legal teams as we near a trial.
Yeah, man. All righty. There we are. All right. 9:15. So it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday in Austin. It was held at Travis County GOP headquarters. And it's interesting the degree to which, you know, attention was drawn to this, of course. Because I think they put out the notice a little bit ahead of time that that there would be statements made by Tony Busby. And so as we got to around 2 o'clock last night, I went to the microphones and off we go.
The impeachment articles that have been laid out by the House are baloney. Just so we're clear, the allegations are untrue. They are false. One of the lawyers I heard who ran and did a podcast almost immediately upon being hired said, oh, the charges are strong as horseradish. When I read the 20 articles of impeachment, my first thought was these are worthless and weak. And I'm embarrassed by our House would send something like that out, would vote on something like that and send it to the Senate with a suggestion that there should be some sort of trial.
Now, okay, interesting. Not just for the purpose of trial, but with the suggestion that there should be some type of trial. That refers to what I think one of the first strategies might be, and that is for Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick to either unilaterally call for the dismissal of this entire thing or for him to put that to a vote. That's a risky prospect. I'm going to tell you, there are people. Okay, let's see. I'm a big spectrum creator. You ready? Here's the spectrum for this. At one end are people who hate Paxton's guts and or feel this is open and shut and think he ought to be kicked out. All right. At the other end of the spectrum are people who think this is absolute BS, complete nonsense, nothing to it, and feel that he should prevail. And maybe their favorite thing is to not even have the trial and have this just kicked out of the court, air quotes, that is the Senate, without even the time or the bother or the money spent. In the mushy middle are people who are just kind of saying, I don't know. Maybe they, let's talk about the folks who voted for Paxton, but who think, this sounds creepy. This sounds bad. Let me kind of see what this is. Maybe there's some folks who actually are looking forward to the trial as a learning moment. What is the look to those people if Lieutenant Governor or the gathered Senate, if they vote to not have a trial at all? Well, Paxton would prevail. It would all go away. But there will be some folks for whom it will be said, you know, what did you fear of the trial? What were you worried about? What were you scared of in having the trial? So I don't know. Is the trial necessary? In terms of optics, it might be.
I'm a native Texan. My family's been in this state for generations. And I'm very offended by the shameful and despicable conduct of our House of Representatives. I've been on this case less than 72 hours, formally. It took less than 72 hours for the House to pass those articles of impeachment. Think about that. 20 articles of impeachment in less than 72 hours. Ken Paxton will never, never be convicted by the Senate.
Bold.
Not on this evidence, not with this record, and not when the fact is the allegations are completely untrue. Now, let's talk about process.
Before he does, this is interesting. Many attorneys will come out and they will say, because they know, you know, where the threshold is. In a criminal court, it's beyond reasonable doubt. Okay, you got the burden is on the prosecution to prove that the defendant is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And maybe they feel that threshold is not met, that maybe there'll be some stuff presented, but it won't achieve reasonable doubt. Or maybe even then, like, a client might have done a couple of things, but they weren't that bad, or the evidence is wanting. That is not where Mr. Busby is going. Mr. Busby says this stuff is false. These counts are lies. These people are lying.
One of the things we want to be clear about is process matters. Process is important. Process means legitimacy. The process here is not just suspect. It's clearly flawed. It's wrong. It was absolutely non-existent. Speaker Dade Phelan and his followers in the Texas House could have easily determined that the allegations that were being made were false, easily could have determined them to be false, if they had just bothered to look at the evidence. But I don't really think they really wanted the facts. They didn't want the truth to be heard. That would have gotten in the way of their plan, and I would suggest to you as a long-term plan, to remove one of the major conservative voices in Texas.
The witch hunt argument is on, that this is a political hit job. A little more from the Tony Busby remarks yesterday. Next, Mark Davis, 921-866-660-5759. Remarks from you. Welcome on all things that we have covered today and may yet. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 922.
These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
I was off by a year. I looked it up. It said 67. I thought, I think I might have been younger.
Yeah.
Written by Lee Hazelwood.
You keep lying when you ought to be truthing.
God. Truthin'. All right. Nancy Sinatra, God love her. She is 83. Okay. So Tony Busby, a little bit more of this, and then I'll springboard from some of that into some various other things that I have for the final half hour. They are not kidding around. They're coming after the process by which these articles of impeachment were drafted in the first place.
What they did was convene a hurried, secretive kangaroo court, more like something you would see in a third world country, not something you would expect from a legislative body Not something that we could all be proud of, not something that we could respect. You realize that the so-called investigators only interviewed 15 people and then relayed hearsay upon hearsay upon hearsay and then passed and voted on 20 articles of impeachment from hearsay evidence from 15 people? It's pretty shocking. They ignored precedent. They disregarded their own rules. They completely abandoned due process. They rejected every ethical, moral, and legal concept that exists in law. And what it really turned into be was just an ugly smear campaign. The speaker's followers and himself thought that they could pull off what could only be described as a drive-by shooting on a holiday weekend to politically assassinate one of the leading conservative voices, not only in Texas, but also in the United States.
That's vivid.
Did you know that they even had a former high-ranking Obama official advising them? Their effort will fail. And you know why it will fail? It will fail because the people of Texas will see this corrupt process for what it is. Let me lay out a few of the major problems, and there are many. And I think my colleague Dan will comment on them as well.
Andrew, let me pause. Let's get into Gordon on time. I'll come back. He spends a couple of moments on what the specific problems are, and in so doing, telegraphs to these House impeachment cheerleaders what you're coming up against. So we'll take a look at that and a couple of other things in the news. And your thoughts, of course, always welcome. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 930. Here's Gordon. Send some friend of mine or something. We're always throwing albums back at each other. Hey, dude, have you heard any Renaissance? And I said, nope. So he gave me this wonderful album called Ashes Are Burning. And these guys are great. And out front of them, a woman named Annie Haslam, who is 76 today. So go snag you some Renaissance if you are of a mind to do so. I'll get all trippy on you, but it's great stuff. Love that stuff. Alrighty, 866-660-5759. So Tony Busby said there's some problems with what the House has brought, and here's a little smidge of what they are.
Every impeachment that has gone to trial since the Texas Constitution was ratified in 1876 has involved a completely public process in the House. Now, I want you to let that sink in for a minute. A completely public process in the House, not a 72-hour process with hearsay upon hearsay done in 4 hours. That's not the way you do business if you're being credible. The past impeachments in Texas have been based on sworn testimony by witnesses, not on an investigator talking to someone who talked to someone else and then going to the committee and saying, this is what this person said. This person said. That's called hearsay. That's called double hearsay, and in some instances, triple hearsay. It would never, ever hold up in any court of law. In all of the impeachment processes, and there's only been three that we can find in the history of our great state, the respondent, that is the accused, in this case, the general, has been allowed and given the opportunity to speak, to defend himself. The attorney general sent his own counsel to the investigative committee to be heard. They turned him away.
That was Chris Hilton, who he had on the show and may likely have on the show again here in coming days, who went down there and said, this is outrageous. I mean, we got points we want to make in reply to this. We got points we want to make to countervail some of the things that are said. And they're just things, you know, do you guys want to talk to us? And the committee essentially flipped them the bird and said, no.
It wasn't just a matter of, hey, we're going to give you an opportunity. It was, you are not allowed to speak. Imagine that. This is the way we do our business. in the state of Texas, in our House of Representatives, the people's house? No, that is not the way we do our business. And the people of Texas will see this for what it is, a sham. We even, I shouldn't say we, but a member of the Attorney General's team even attempted, when precluded from testifying, attempted to bring evidence to say, well, you won't let us testify, you won't let us be heard, you won't let us face the investigators who talk to someone who talked to someone else, at the least, would you just accept our package of evidence? Would you accept it so at least you can consider it, so you can, if you're sworn to do the right thing and uphold the law and do the right thing for the people of Texas, would you accept it? They would not accept it.
And this is where we get into, and this might be, I might do a little bit of this tomorrow or in the day, Lord knows we have time, because who knows when this thing's going to get underway. The questioning of Andy Murr, Republican out of Baytown, by Arlington Republican Tony Tinderholt, just a continuing masterpiece of Q&A, in which he asked Mr. Murr about this and said, look, why can't he give his side? Why can't the attorney general, you know, and his people weigh in on these things that you are saying about him? And it was just a torrent of word salad and doublespeak about the integrity of the process, as if the process only has integrity if it is allowed to barrel down the tracks without pesky interference from the person who is being investigated.
Every impeachment that has occurred in the state of Texas has allowed the respondent to produce such evidence, and the respondents have done so. There wasn't even a written report in this case. Now, I want you to think about that. Would you not expect that if you're going to impeach or attempt to impeach a statewide official, that you would not only have witnesses who are under oath, who testify, but that you would also have documents that you rely upon, and that you would also prepare a report so the people of Texas could say, oh, House, now I understand what you did. There is no report like that, and we're all left guessing. What is going on? And as an aside, you know, the lawyers who were hired immediately after the impeachment, who immediately did a podcast, I listened quite carefully to the podcast, and one of the things said in the podcast, one of the lawyers said, oh, there were crimes. And the other lawyer said, oh, no, we're not suggesting there are any crimes. We're not suggesting that at all. That's because there are no crimes, obviously. There have been no crimes. And the lawyer made the case on the podcast that, well, yes, there's no crimes, but he can be impeached anyway.
Which is true, because it's a political process. So theories abound, as I've said, as to what, you know, like what's going on here. And I don't just mean in the nuts and bolts on the surface of what procedurally is going on as we plow toward the impeachment trial. From the Patriot Mobile text line, 866-660-5759. Interesting theory that what Dade Phelan wants to do is he wants to be governor. And so what might happen here in the coming years? Is it possible that if John Cornyn decides not to run in 28, which I think is at least as likely as not, who might be interested in being a United States Senator? Well, that might be Governor Greg Abbott, around whom there is no appreciable presidential buzz. And no, there's just, and because honestly, I think Governor Abbott, to his credit, took a look at the situation and said, eh, Trump's there. Well, DeSantis is there. Now a bunch of other people are there. There's just no point. You know, I'm an awesome governor, he may think, and there are tons of people who think that he is, and I'm one of them on most issues, but that a presidential run right now would be futile. It just wouldn't go. So I'm going to keep my powder dry and see if maybe I can't be John Cornyn's successor, at which point you got an open governor's seat, and maybe Dade Phelan wants that. And who would be the prime competition? Who might be the prime competition? You think, oh, what about Dan Patrick? I think Dan's in his early 70s. I don't know if Dan Patrick wants to serve 6 years in the United States Senate. If he does, I'll be very interested. But maybe a more likely candidate might indeed be Kent Paxton. And so this is a preemptive strike to ruin Paxton for governor or senator or anything Paxton might want to do in the future.
That is not how it works. That is a violation of process. That's a violation of due process. In the Paul Ferguson impeachment that occurred 100 years ago.
Governor Pa Ferguson. That's what gave us Ma Ferguson.
It occurred after an extensive public investigation by a House Select Committee. 3 weeks. 3 weeks of testimony. Not 4 hours from investigators who talked to somebody who talked to someone else.
So I think we're getting the idea. That thing. So the first salvo is that this whole thing is improper and shouldn't have eaten to oughtn't to be heard. And there may be wheels that turn. I don't know how long this takes. If it takes us till the end of August to have an actual trial, maybe there are machinations working right now to see if Lieutenant Governor Patrick and the Senate might be interested in just throwing this thing out on its ear before we even get to that. As soon as I say that, there's a part of me that loves that, but there's also a part of me that says, what are the optics of that? You know, if you're Ken Paxton, what's better? To endure an impeachment trial and prevail, which is absolutely a greater than 50-50 likelihood, or prevail because they, and this is what will be said, they swept it under the rug. They feared the trial. So need some time to work on that. I didn't need any time to work on this yesterday. You saw the orange skies. It's not just New York City. I think they cancel the Yankees and the Mets. Were they both at home? They canceled the Phillies, which I can see. I mean, you know, get everybody. If you're sitting there telling everybody stay inside, this is not the Mayor Eric Adams saying this is not the day to train for your marathon. That is true. Maybe it's not even the day to get out and sit outside at a baseball game. And of course, instantly it took nanoseconds for people to get around. Well, it must be climate change. All the fires are climate change. And so for the millionth time, there is nothing uniquely noteworthy about the prevalence of fires, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes. There is absolutely nothing noteworthy about their prevalence today. So Jesse Waters last night had one of my favorite guys on, Mark Morano, who runs a website, Twitter feed called The Climate Depot. And I guess he was trying to prove a point out of the outset as they went to Mark and his double shot there on the TV box. He's puffing on a big cigar.
No, I'm just pointing out that it's probably healthier right now to smoke a cigar than it is to go outside your studio and breathe Justin Trudeau's air that he's imported from Canada. Yeah, if they really wanted to get kids to smoke the equivalent of half a pack of cigarette, they ought to just send the cigarettes directly to the kids, and then they could avoid all the flight closures and all the other havoc. But this is exactly what you would expect to happen. This is Canadian natural disaster, mismanagement, and now they're trying to blame global warming, which makes it what? Our fault. It's our SUVs. It's our gas stoves, which, by the way, didn't New York ban them? Shouldn't wildfires be a thing of the past? I thought they were banning them already.
So some guy didn't put out a cigarette in Canada, and it's my fault I'm driving an Escalade. Is that why Trudeau hasn't apologized?
Yeah, and you're going to have to sacrifice because of it. Yeah, Trudeau has said he admires China's basic dictatorship. Well, it makes a lot of sense because China is the most horrible air quality of any country in the world. He's trying to imitate China. He's following it with his tyrannical crush of free speech and dissidents like the Freedom Convoy. And now he's trying to imitate China's air quality. He can't get enough of China. And now he's exporting all that to the United States.
Mark Morano, the Climate Depot guy, on with Jesse Waters last night.
It smells terrible. It smells like my grandfather's cabin in Vermont. It looks like a Mars colony out here. Is this some sort of apocalypse? I'm getting some weird vibes, Mark.
Well, you know, you showed the Ghostbusters clip. If every day is an apocalypse to a climate activist, Al Gore for decades has had the same line. Every night on the news is like a nature walk through the Book of Revelations. That's what they literally want to do. They weaponize every bad weather event. And make no mistake, Justin Trudeau's smoke, which we're all inhaling now. I'm in Virginia. My son's soccer practice was canceled because of Justin Trudeau's smoke. They want us to pay to fix it. We're going to have to go without gas stoves. We're going to have to go without vehicles. We're going to have to go without eating meat because of this is allegedly caused by climate change.
That is Mark Morano, Climate Depot, a wonderful Twitter follow and a wonderful website. You know, it does. The fact that we are horribly adversely affected by smoke and fire from hundreds, if not thousands of miles away in some cases. Doesn't that show the general lunacy of all of this? That America, we can punish ourselves, deny ourselves, and have these brutal policies that shut down our productivity. If China and India don't do anything, and guess what? They're not going to do anything. Guess what happens to air here on the planet? It moves. Some folks seem blissfully unaware of that. I'm aware of this. It's 9:50. So 1986, band out of Manchester called Simply Red. Their front man, redheaded dude named Mick Hucknall, hence perhaps the name of the band. Had a hit called Holding Back the Years, but this is Open Up the Red Box. I was bopping to this in the mid-80s, so I figure we'll let Mick Hucknall, who is 63 today, take us out. By the way, Mancunian, I was talking about this on the Prager Show the other day. If you got that Jamie Tart accent from Ted Lasso, Aquila. Sexy baby. Manchester, right? Why are people from Manchester called Mancunian? Why is that the demonym? From the original Roman name of the town, Mancunium, circa AD 79. There you go. How about that? This stuff is free. For Jimmy Kersey and for Rhonda, and thank you, Mr. Matt, for the technical guru skills, and thank you, Gordon, for news excellence. God bless our troops, our country, our families. Mike Gallagher next. I'll see you tomorrow. It's Friday already. What's going on here? Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Have a good one.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.